You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, it's a special edition. I want to introduce the guest who was on this podcast today.
Hello.
All right, that was the shy voice of Marina Higuera. If you are a regular of this podcast, you have heard her on previous episodes. I believe last Thanksgiving time we had an episode together. We did one probably in March and over the summer. So she's a quarterly, yearly, four times a year guest kind of thing. So she's back on the podcast to talk, you know, all things Pacers from her perspective, from the fan perspective, even more than Tony and I, who are kind of diehard fans in ourselves. This probably won't be a preview show, just to give everybody a heads up. We're not probably going to preview the Hornets game. My quick one take on it, the Pacers should beat the Hornets, whether Oladipo plays or not. They play it the way they played Monday. Kemba's rocking, and he's rolling. He has a 60 and a 40-point game back-to-back, but...
Is he the one that got the 50-something points the other day?
Yeah, no. So he had the 60 points. He's the guy I was talking to you about who I was playing in fantasy.
Hot take, this team sucks because the Cards Against Humanity card, the bees, is the best one. I don't like the word Hornets.
All right.
They'll lose.
That's kind of a...
I just said it was a hot take.
All right, well, that is a hot take out there. I think the Pacers will beat the Hornets. I guess it would be interesting to see whether Vic plays or not, but I think they win. But really, what I want to talk about with Marina to start with is... her love and adoration for Miles Turner. I have been...
It's not adoration.
Okay, her love and obsessiveness with Miles Turner. I can say from afar, I have been a skeptic, a critic, and then I turned into a semi-believer. Put it this way, Turner struggles offensively at times. I thought he played great against the Jazz, honestly, the way that he ran off the ball plays. You know, moving off the ball, setting screens, and just was active in the offense the way he usually isn't with Vic in the game. But defensively, Turner is a monster, but I'm not sure I'm buying into him being on this team long term, I guess. And so I wanted to give Marina kind of an opportunity just to defend Turner.
When you say long term, if he got his contract, like.
He got an extension already.
Yes. So technically, like. He will stay long term, like unless they want to do something stupid and owe him a lot of money for a,
so I was thinking, long. I'm thinking trade.
Okay, I don't. What other defend? I don't watch it enough to say like what other defenders on the team are as good as him consistently for putting like numbers up for blocks and for normal. Like, who is the closest to him on the team?
Oh, the Pacers team or in the league?
Yeah.
On the team, there's really nobody comparative to his defensive skills. You know, Sabonis is the other center, obviously. Right. But Sabonis does not have the defensive ability Turner has. Turner can protect the rim incredibly well. I thought this year he's been better, particularly off the ball.
So why are people arguing...
That he should be traded?
No. About, like... between the two, who should... I think when they played together the other night, they were actually really good.
Yes,
and they
were.
And they can both, like... I think they have enough chemistry together that you can fit them in a rotation at the same time and have one play to the other's weaknesses. Like, where one is strong, the other is weak, and vice versa. They're the same height. And they both clearly have good abilities. Even though they're the same position, I think they can play different... I don't know. I don't know why it has to be like a battle between center when it could just be like...
They could play together.
Yeah.
You know, and so you read my piece on this because you copied out a lot of my stuff. I wrote kind of a piece for the case for both. And I sympathetic to that argument, right? The case for both is they both have different skill sets. They can play together at a decent, you know, and I'm not going to say they're like the most awesome pairing when on the court. They have their flaws, certainly, because as two centers, it just makes... There are flaws out there, but they're... are not a negative net rating and off, and when they're, you know, separately off the court,
They're both pretty good at their particular skill sets. So Bonus is really good at carrying the bench, scoring a ton of points, and Turner's really good at kind of being the anchor of that defense. Wherever you want to put him, you want to call him the anchor, the second best defender behind Vic, whatever it is, he's really good at that. And so I'm sympathetic to the idea that if they could play together. I guess the way I view it is that there's sort of levels, right? There's levels in the NBA. There's bad, tank, you know, that's the Hawks. There's this level of like borderline playoff team. Maybe you're a young team improving, or you're just the Detroit Pistons, for example, who are just kind of, that's, they're the constantly definition of this, you know, eighth to 10th best team in the conference.
If you're not first, you're last.
Then there's the kind of cycle of mediocrity, which means you're good enough every year to win 45 to 50 games. You're probably between a 4 and a 6 seed every year. And there's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, but you aren't quite that next level top 3 team in your conference to be able to compete for.
This is the Pacers.
Even then. Well, yeah, so the 4th is where the Pacers are right now. They've been that way for probably 3-4 seasons going. This will be their 4th season. They're into it since, you know, the Paul George return injury, and then his obviously trade for Oladipo. And so to get to that next step, where I'm not even talking about winning an NBA championship.
But at least the first round of...
Well, I'm talking about maybe competing. So I'm talking about competing for your conference championship, which is, you know, the thing about the NBA playoffs was injury here, injury there, who knows? So, like, for example, you know, I think last year the Cavs and LeBron were begging for the Rockets to beat the Warriors, who were down underdog, and Steph kind of hobbled, I guess, I think a little bit.
Cause, like, the Patriots playing Philadelphia, like...
Well, no, it's like the Patriots wanting to play Philly because their quarterback's down. Obviously, it didn't work out. But, like, I think, you know, the Rockets somehow beat the Warriors if Chris Paul is healthy, or they beat him with an injured Chris Paul in one of those games. LeBron might have 2 championships because it's just the way it is. So it's just, if you get to the finals, you don't know what can happen. I mean, right. That happened kind of with the Warriors their first year, where I think, you know, if Kyrie had been healthy and Kevin Love had been healthy, it would have been a much closer series than it already was a 6-game series that first time the Cavs-Warriors played. So there's that stuff. So but to get to that level, they need to probably cash in on Sabonis or Turner for a upgrade. So it's probably one of those guys with another player and a first-round pick. And I know it's risky, though, right? It's riskier.
Yeah, but I get, like, why are we arguing about something like that when you have two people that, like, the entire team works so well collectively when you have, like, who is it, like the Wizards, where everybody just hates each other?
Yes, they've been
the murder everyone
it.
Tour. Like, I think there are so many other things that we could be. It's still so early. It's been like a month and a half since the season started, right? Correct?
Yeah,
a month.
I think it started October 17th, so today's the quarter to the 21st.
Exactly. It has been like, I don't know.
No, and that's...
Is that just my bias?
No, that's... I love that. You're perfect in the rational take. You know what I mean? As a podcaster, a podcast and semi-blogger, and...
I don't know if the people listening are like...
You know, I mean, I have a day job that's not that, but my off-duty job of podcast host, semi-blogger...
Super fan.
And so, I mean, I'm a fan. I mean, that's what kind of blogging is. Right. It's being a fan. I try to be somewhat reasoned and... Sometimes, but it's being a fan. It's what I am.
Maybe I just
and when you do this kind of job, and kind of thing, you can't, you know, you can't be reasoned. You got to come out with a hard take
from the casual.
No,
what, my hot take of the Hornets.
No, because like you know, I made a hot take about before the season, like, oh, they trade Turner for Love, and I was just thinking about how do they get to that next level, right?
Oh,
now,
that made so many people mad.
But then I watched the basketball and made a more reasoned take, and all of a sudden it was like I was backstabbing on my own thoughts. Like, I, you know, part of being in this game is you constantly changing ideas. So. I don't know. I think you're probably right in that they could probably just kind of ride without, see where it goes, wait a year. But I'm wondering.
I don't think wait a year. Just wait until, like, the new year. Like, it can be this season, but, like, wait until, like, the end of December, like, mid-January, and, like, keep playing them together and see if there's any, like, solution. I feel like everybody is so quick to, like, jump on this bandwagon of, like, it's been 20. How many games have they played?
They're 11-6 at this point. So
okay, so they've played almost 20 games, and, like, there's just a total plateau from last season. Like, you are basing an entire season off 1 month.
Yeah, not even a quarter of the season.
Yeah, of work. And I think it's unfair for everybody. So I think from, like, a casual fan's standpoint, to take a step back and be like, we thought we were coming from nothing last season, and we proved that wrong. And we were worried that it was just a fluke. And so far, the numbers have been... really good. We could be Washington. We could be, like...
you should call them the Wizards. That's you make fun of them.
The
Washington Wizards. So you make call them the Wizards.
Why?
I don't know. What's the end of the?
I think you know why.
They're making fun of the name.
You could be Kevin Durant or something right now. It could be worse. Life could be worse.
No, that's true. I'll take a quick break and then we'll talk some Aaron Holiday after it.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. If you missed the first segment, which I don't know how you would, it's a podcast, so I don't know how you missed the first segment.
Why would you do that?
Marina is joining me, my girlfriend. At your Twitter name is what? At Marina Higuera? Higuera. That's H-I-G-U-E-R-A. I'm glad I spelled that right, otherwise that could have been a really bad night for me.
What?
I mean, you would have yelled at me at least.
I'm so mean.
No, but I mean, it's embarrassing if I misspelled your last name.
It would have been like a hit on the side of the
head. It would have been embarrassing if I misspelled your last name, which I would never do. But, so I said before the break, we talked about Aaron Holiday, so that's what we're going to do for a second. So, Holiday, I thought, has now put together two really impressive games. The Atlanta game, I was worried, was a fluke, simply because Atlanta is a really bad basketball team. And so, you know, I mean,
they gave us a run for their money.
They did, but Vic only played 5 minutes, so it was basically a Vic-less game. And the way I view it is, like, I think Duke would have a shot against Atlanta. Duke's, they're the best team in college basketball this year. They've got three top five picks, probably, three top five picks with Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett. I'm playing on the third kid's name right now, so I'm going to
But how good is Duke, really, when, like, Grayson Allen's played, what?
No, but really my point here is that he proved it in Utah that it wasn't a fluke. You know, he came out of Utah and did basically replicated the second, if not had a better game against Utah. And he's definitely made a case that he should get rotation minutes.
I just want to punch him in the head.
Why?
Grayson Allen?
I'll put him on Aaron Holiday.
Oh, God, sorry.
You jumped around too much on me.
I don't want to punch him.
No, Aaron, and I
love him.
And I think Aaron Holiday deserves an opportunity, I guess. I don't know how to put it. I think he deserves an opportunity to play.
I like him. I think he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
I think that, like, if that hadn't have happened, if, like, I'm really sad, obviously, that Vic's knee is doing what happens to me when I run too much. It just, like, starts clicking, and you're like, whoa.
Except, Vic runs every day for a job. I think it's a little worse. He probably fell on it. It's probably bruised or swollen up a little bit.
I work out every day. That is a lie. But
not the way Vic works out.
He's
a star athlete.
I work out by walking around my house.
But like Vic is like one of the thirty most athletic. Well, top 100 athlete in the country currently.
What about Olympic athlete?
That's what I'm countering in.
You are so unrealistic. Anyway,
but he's like the fastest guy in the NBA. Maybe
that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Get out the combine time.
All right. Tell me your take on Vic and Aaron Holiday.
If he hadn't had that happen, like, when would have been the first real time? We would have seen Aaron Holiday get good minutes.
Might have never seen Aaron Holiday except Darren Collison or Cordell got hurt. You mean you're right? I mean, the injury could be a blessing in disguise.
Why didn't they put TJ Leaf out there? Did they just know that he would have been bad?
Yes.
Okay.
Leaf has been bad.
I know. So I'm saying, that could have totally happened. Like, say they had put TJ Leaf out there 2 games ago and he was, a rock star. Obviously, it was by chance.
Leaf hasn't had a single minute as good as Aaron Holiday looked in the past 30.
He's so, he looks like a string bean.
Yeah, so as Marina knows, Tony, this is what I call the Tony East effect. I know I'm just making this up so Tony watched TJ Leaf.
I do not love Bojan. Tell me that is...
No, this is the effect that Tony... Because Tony... Yeah, sorry. Tony watched TJ Leaf and it was disappointing, obviously. 18th overall pick and was one of the deepest drafts where OG Anunoby was available to take. And he thinks all rookies are bad, which is fair. You know, it clouds your judgment, the most recent thing you see. So, right, when you see your most recent rookie, that's terrible. It kind of clouds your judgment. Tony's case, and I agree with him, was rookies are going to be bad. Don't play Aaron Holiday. But Holiday has a couple of things going for him that are different. One, Holiday is 21 years old, not 19 when he came in the league. So he's more developed as a player, more muscular, has played longer. He has NBA brothers, so he's probably spent time,
Right.
He's probably spent time in the summers playing against real NBA competition because that's what you do. You work out with your brothers. That's a big deal. Plus UCLA and everybody loves to be in LA, so I'm sure he's in LA all year round. No, I mean, you should see the kind of parade of NBA stars that work out with the UCLA team. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, people love LA, but I think grouping him with TJ Leaf does him a disservice because I think he's a different player.
Totally not. But yeah. They were teammates, right?
Yes, they were actually UCLA. They were teammates. So, I mean,
so what the hell?
I get why the Patriots didn't give him minutes and aren't and really did, because they don't have a spot for him. But now that Vic got hurt, you almost have to make room for him because he's shown he's too good to not. And clearly, you know, if he can, if you can develop him, get him any minutes this season would help him along his development process, which sort of is like you need to play so many minutes each year to kind of get better and real game action. And I mean, I don't want them to trade Darren Collison today, but they're going to need to figure out how to get him minutes.
Trade him tomorrow.
Well, no, but they have to figure out a way to get him minutes.
Yeah, I was going to ask when Vic comes back, whose spot will he take?
Honestly, I'll have to take minutes, probably. I mean, I think they'll shift kind of the entire bench down. So they'll play probably Holiday at the two, they'll play Joseph at the one, and they'll play Tarik Evans at the three, McDermott at the four, and Simmons at the five, or whatever. You know, if they swap in that for McDermott, whatever the lineup is. That's what they'll try to do.
Oh, my God, wait.
Yeah.
This is going to be a stupid question. You can cut this out if you want.
Never. Everything stays.
That is not true. When they do the starting lineup thing on Twitter with their pictures, are they in order, like a specific order, or are they just like, you know how they have their faces and stuff?
Like, you mean like on TV lined up?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're usually in order from guard, forward, center. Or usually center in the centerpiece, so it'll be guard inside, forward inside, at the center.
Those are two
different lineup sets. Yeah, you're right.
Different things.
I can't remember whether that works.
But then, like, when they call them out, when they're introducing the starting lineup, like, Paul George was always last.
Yeah, usually you pick the top player to go last. It's why Darren Collison goes first, because he's probably the worst of the starters.
He's popular.
Well, of the starters, though. And that's why tying this back to Aaron Holiday. No, to be there, Collison's had kind of a down year. If you pull up his stats, I mean, last year he earned himself minutes on the court because he shot 46% from the three-point range. This year you got Darren Collison down to 37%, which is better than it was a couple weeks ago, but it's not... No, good enough to counter out his bad defense.
Miles Turner is above him.
Where Aaron Holiday, I know he's only taken like two, maybe a total of 14 threes, but he's shooting 50%.
He hasn't made a ton.
No, and so he just has an offensive, I guess it's like enthusiasm almost, where like he comes in the court and scores, and it really just gets everybody excited because it's like the young guy scoring.
Young and
we have to see what else he
not
can do.
TJ Leaf.
That's true. He's mad Taylor. That's a fair point, but I don't know. I would love to see how to get more minutes, and I would love to, you know, they can cut a little bit from Darren Collison here, maybe cut a little bit from McDermott. They have to figure it out because
I keep wanting to call
he's been so good.
Doug McDermott, Dylan McDermott, the actor.
Who is that?
Isn't he in? I don't know, to be honest. I just know his name. Okay. Maybe, well, is it Dean McDermott? Oh my God.
I don't know. Well, as we reach kind of the, 18, 19-minute mark of this podcast, and Maria and I reach
about... He was trying to keep this thing short as possible.
About 1 a.m. midnight, I think we're really wrapped up on stuff we could really say. Anything else you want to talk about?
Who is doing
She gave me the most blank stare I've ever seen, so
I wasn't even looking at you.
So, well, whatever the stare was in the space was a blank stare, so...
I'm thinking of how to, like, insult Tony about... terrible player choices, but I can't do that. I'm not going to do that.
Well, you can insult Tony on another podcast.
I will insult him on Twitter.
Well,
through his DMs.
So this is the last podcast you'll hear on us before Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so
I thought you were going to say this is the last podcast you'll ever hear me
No,
on.
Tony will be back on probably Monday together for a weekly show or Tuesday, depending on. I know the Patriots play the Jazz on Monday night, so we'll have to figure that out. They go on a West Coast road trip, so that'll be interesting. The Patriots play the Spurs Friday after Thanksgiving. That should be a good game. Hopefully next time we talk, Pacers are, 13-6?
You go to Banker's Life on Friday, find Adam, sign his face, take a picture of it, and then tweet it to me.
I don't know if I'm going right now. We'll see.
But if he is, do that. I will give the winner Tony, 500 cents.
Tony will be there, so you guys can tweet at Tony at TeasedNBA to get him attention and maybe try to get meet you at halftime of the game. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at FreemanAdam5. You can follow Marina on Twitter at Marina. What's your Twitter handle?
You know it. You just said it.
Is it like, Marina Higuera?
Yes.
Just no numbers?
No.
You're the original Marina Higuera on Twitter?
How many people do you think have my name?
I mean, it's probably a popular name in like, I don't know, but popular in other countries.
Excuse me.
Right? It's probably
popular. Not really.
No.
If you Google my name, you get pictures of like refrigerators sometimes.
I mean, Marina's a pretty popular name.
Yes, but not the last name.
Yeah, the last name together.
And the first name and the last name together, it's not.
Well, there are a few Adam Friedman out there, so.
Yeah.
there are a few because, but as always, you follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Our podcast has been doing really well thanks to you guys, and we really appreciate all the support out there.
Thanks.
Feel free to tweet at Marina, at me, or at Tony about this podcast. I don't know if it's the best one we did, but we'll see how this goes. I mean, let's be honest, it's 12:57 a.m. at
Colts fan Ryan, please tweet that you liked it. Please.
We'll see if he tweets that. We'll see if he tweets that. As always, we'll be back on Monday. That's all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great
rest of your day. We'll be right back.